Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves. Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the hosts of angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. And the sounding joy repeating. Jesus saves.
See the humblest hearts adore him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the wisest bow before him. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See the sky alive with grace, melting darkness in its place. There is light forevermore in Jesus saves.
He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In his love we'll shout the cross. Christ has paid redemption's cost. While the empty tomb's declaring, Jesus saves. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is quaking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. For the saints who shout together, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Rising up so fast and strong, lifting up salvation's song. The redeemed will sing forever, Jesus saves. Rising up so fast and strong, lifting up salvation's song. The redeemed will sing forever, Jesus saves.
Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I'm glad I know and have experienced that Jesus saves. If you're here today and you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
You're saved because Jesus saves. That's the only way to be saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You have your Bible open to Acts chapter 4. That is in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad that you're here, and it's good to have visitors in our midst. We're kind of gearing up for a special week to come. Today I want to speak to you about what happens when the church prays, not what happens when you pray or what happens when I pray, but what happens when the church prays. And we have a great picture of that and a great account of that right here in the scripture. Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried. He resurrected from the grave. He met with the disciples. He gave them that commission that was the commission that carries on even to you and I today to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And then he ascended up into heaven, and the apostles began to carry out the commission that God had given them. And here in chapter number 4, we find where after some contention and some opposition, after the apostles had been brought in and been threatened and then further threatened and told, we don't want you speaking about this Jesus anymore. We do not want you preaching this message about this Jesus anymore. And we want you to stop it, or there's going to be some not so good consequences. And we pick up our reading in verse number 23, where after they had, in verse number 21, the Bible says, had further threatened them, they let them go. Now, you could only imagine, here was a small pocket of believers, just like you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a believer. We are believers. We're part of that called out assembly, the believers. And we've been called out, and we meet, and we worship, and we leave, and we share the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. These had been called in, and they said, enough. We want you to stop it. We want you to stop it, or there's going to be greater and more severe consequences. And then the Bible says in verse number 23, and being let go, what would you have done? They went to a different place where there was not so much opposition. Or they said, okay, we'll do what you said. We'll not mention Jesus. We'll not preach Christ. We'll not gather together in the name of the Lord. That's not what they done. I'll tell you what they done from the Bible, and I think you will be just as amazed and just as challenged as I am, and I have been when I read this section of Scripture. The Bible says, now what happens when the church prays? Now I want you to notice what this was born out of. It was born out of adversity. It was born out of opposition. It was born out of a people and a nation saying, you can't do it. We want you to stop it. We want you to quit this Jesus stuff. We want you to quit this church stuff. We want you to quit telling people Jesus is alive. We want you to stop, or there's going to be severe consequences. The Bible says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. And I'm glad that we as believers have our own company. Amen. They went to that company of believers that they knew that they were of one mind. They went to them. And the Bible says that they reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. They reported it. They said, all right, here it is. They brought us in. And they said, no more. And they said, we got to stop. And they don't want to hear any more out of us. They don't want to hear any more preaching. They want to hear any more Jesus. They don't want any more church. They don't want any more gatherings. They want us to stop with this Bible stuff. And the Bible says in verse number 24, and when they heard that, who's they? That's all of them. That's not just the apostles. That multitude, that company of believers, when they had, verse number 24, heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Amen? They didn't say, well, let me see here now. I'm going to get me a picket sign, and I'm going to write on the back of it, and I'm going to go picket that Sanhedrin. I'm going to go picket those chief priests. I'm going to write them a letter. Boy, they're going to get a piece of my mind. The Bible says they prayed, brethren. They prayed. And I want you to notice their prayer. You see, praying helps us to understand that God is present. All right? Prayer helps us to understand that God is aware. Prayer helps us to understand that God is involved in the affairs of man, that God cares about what we're going through, that God cares about what you're going through, and He does. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And He not only knows, He cares. And He not only knows and cares, but He has the power to get involved and do something about it. So the Bible says they went and they prayed. Now watch what they did. The Bible says when they prayed, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. So they began to pray to this God, all right? To this one true and living God. And we'll get into a little more detail of the prayer, But when they finished their prayer, if you'll look down in verse number 31, and when they had prayed, they finished their prayer, something happened. Something happened. Now I want you to look right up here at me before we read verse 31. Now we all know, if you've been in church for any given period of time or you've been saved, you know the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, there, he said, what? Will I be in the midst? He said, I'll be there with you. Now, I believe there's more than two or three that's gathered here today. Jesus is here. But the question is not, is he present? The question is going to be, will his presence be perceived? Will you recognize the presence of God today? Will I recognize his presence? Will we understand that God is in this place? Kind of like back in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob had prayed. And when he got through praying, he says, surely the Lord is in this place. Amen. Now God's in this place. So there's not a question. Is God here? The question is, will you perceive the presence of God? Watch what happens. They prayed. And they prayed to God and they said, God, we're going to need your help. We've been threatened. They're saying they're going to shut us down. And so we're coming to you. We're not going to try to work up some type of what we think that's going to bring them to defeat or bring them down or propel us. We're coming to you, Lord, and we want you to fight our battle. Notice what happened in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Amen. What's God doing? He's saying, I want you to know I'm listening. Amen. I'm listening. Now, this wasn't the first time, and it won't be the last time, that God let his presence be known by shaking a place and shaking a people. You know what our churches need today? Our churches today need some shaking. And I'm not talking about gyrating. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about God shaking some things up. The presence of God shaking. Letting you know, I'm here. Haven't gone anywhere. I'm listening. I'm concerned. I'm involved. I know about it. The Bible says when they got through praying in verse 31, that the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now what about that? What would it be like if every individual in this building this morning, saved, knows Christ as their Savior, was filled with the Holy Ghost, every one of us? What would that be like? All of us filled. You have a preacher, I don't even know what that is. You don't know what you're missing is what it is. If you're saved and you don't know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're missing. No wonder there's no joy in many believers' lives. No wonder there's no victory in many Christians' lives. No wonder there's no burden in many Christians' hearts. Hey, we need to get a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God. See, we're leaky vessels. You say, I don't think I have any holes in me. It's coming out everywhere, brother. It's coming out everywhere. You see, this same group of people, if you'll turn back to Acts chapter number 2, we're just in Acts chapter 4. But if you turn back to Acts chapter 2, you'll find where the Bible says in verse number 4, and they, that's that same crowd, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. You there? Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. The same crowd now that we read about in chapter 4. Here they are. Here's the gist of them. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All right? Then you get over to Acts chapter 4, they need a fresh filling. You know why? Because they're facing new challenges. New levels, new devils. Gonna need some new power for some new task that God has for us in our Christian experience. Amen? Amen? So listen, you say, well, preacher, I used to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not my question. My question this morning is, are you filled right now? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know what it is to enjoy Holy Spirit freshness, Holy Spirit fullness? And so the Bible says that when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 31, that the place that they were assembling was shaken. You say, oh, preacher, wouldn't it be great if that could happen today? No, it's not if it could, it can. Amen. Amen, it's if it would. It's if it would. See, God can shake a place. God can shake your place. God can shake my place. God can shake this place. God can shake some things up. And he shook. And the Bible says that he shook to let them know, I'm present. He wanted them to perceive that he was present. And then the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. So they perceived the word of God. They perceived the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, how did that happen? Well, just look in chapter 4 just for a moment. A few things I think would help. In verse number 24, it says they lifted up their, notice that next word, voice. Didn't say voices. See, each one of them had a voice, and it didn't say they lifted up their voices, but as one. See, this is unison. They were praying for the same thing. Could you imagine what it would be like if the church got her priorities straight and really began to pray about the things that matter to God? Wouldn't that be something? See, they began to pray as a church. And they began to pray about the thing that mattered to God. What were they praying about? They were praying that the Word of God might go forth. That the Word of God might go forth through them. They began to pray about that. They got concerned about the things that God got concerned about. It's as though they put their hand on the pulse of God and they said, God is alive and well and is concerned about the souls of men. And so let us get to praying. And they got to praying, and God heard, and God shook, and God answered, and God filled. But not only were they praying about the same thing, but notice how they were praying. Not what they were praying. They lifted up their voice to God. But notice that next little phrase there, with one accord. They were not only in unison, they were in unity. Now I realize that sitting in this building today, a lot of people from different walks, different backgrounds, but can I tell you, though we may have differences in a lot of different things, today kicks off football season. And a bunch of you losers, I mean people, like those Washington Redskins. And we may have differences in teams and sports. We may have differences in likes and dislikes. We may have differences in a lot of different things. But when it comes to what God wants for the church, listen to me now, brethren. When it comes to what God wants for the church, when it comes to us doing what concerns the Lord, when it comes to us getting involved in what God wants us as a church to be involved in, we need to get to praying, not only in unison, but listen, I hope he didn't get mad because I said something about the water. You're not a Redskins fan, are you? They're not only losers, they're quitters. Say amen. When God speaks to my heart, when God speaks to your heart, he's going to say, I want you to get involved in what's going on with the souls of men. The souls of men. Do you understand that? It may be through missionary endeavor. It may be through an invitation to someone that you meet at a fast food restaurant or that you meet at a 7-Eleven, Sheets, maybe your neighbor. See, getting involved, getting the word out. What did God fill them for? See, there's power. Now listen to me. There's power, brethren. There's power. But the power comes with a purpose. See, sometimes people say, I want the power of God. I want the power of God. Let's get the power of God. Why? Well, so I can experience something. That's not why God is going to give us his power. God's not going to give us his power so we can have a personal experience. You should have got that when you got saved, amen. Hey, God's going to give us his power for a purpose. A purpose. What is that purpose? Getting people to Jesus. Amen. You'll never do it without the power of God. Amen. It'll never happen without the power of God. But when the church begins to pray, and when the church begins to put their hand on the pulse of God and feel the heartbeat of God that goes out around this world that wants this old sin-cursed globe that we call the earth, God loves the world, and he wants you and I as believers to get that message out there. Amen. Go tell them, church. Get out there and tell them. Tell them what, preacher? Tell them that God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You do not have to die in your sin and go to hell. What a great message. But you can know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's the message. God wants us to get out to this world. Say, preacher, I sure would like it if everybody were to be a patriot. I would love it. On this 9/11, If Americans would quit disrespecting our flag, if Americans, those that claim to be Americans, would quit disrespecting our country, our servicemen, our service ladies, and began to appreciate them and show them the respect, amen, that they have earned, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'll tell you what, you get somebody saved, and you let God get in their soul, and God will fix their heart, and I'm going to tell you what they'll do. They'll stand when the Pledge of Allegiance is sang, amen, and they'll salute, and they'll praise God for America, where there's freedoms and liberties that we can enjoy. Amen. I looked up the word patriot. The word patriot means to defend. It means to care for. It means to stand by his or her country. It comes from a French word that runs through Latin to Greek all the way to the English. And it's tied in with the forefathers. It's tied in with the foundations. It's tied in of being a patriot and standing for the cause of those who began this thing. And brethren, I want to stand before you and tell you on this Patriot's Day, you're looking at a patriot. Amen. I am for what God led the men to start this country with. Amen. Amen. But now it's turning. It happened here. Jesus left them. And he said, I want you to go preach it. And that area where they were preaching said, we don't want you preaching it. You live in an area. I'm in an area. We live in a country where there are some that are saying, some of them, even in higher up in offices of our land, saying, don't preach it. Don't tell it. I had a lady come to me last week and said that there was a teacher in her church told her that her children could not bring a Bible to school. Now you tell me there's not something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. And said if she mentions Jesus or God or prayer, we're going to send her home for 3 days. Oh, listen, I gave that parent this advice. Stand strong, sister. Amen. Stand strong. Amen. Don't you back down to that. Stand strong. Stand strong. Amen. The Bible says here, listen, brethren, this is real. You want to know what to get the Christians to praying? It's not who's going to win the football game tonight or today or tomorrow night. You want to get some Christians praying? I mean really praying? You let the devil raise up some opposition that's going to strip you of liberties and freedoms and the things that really are dear to your heart, and you'll get to praying. And that's what happened here. They begin to pray in unison. They begin to pray in unity. Wouldn't it be wonderful as a church if every one of us was filled with the Holy Spirit? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's two main things in the Bible that you'll do. Number one, you'll exalt the name of Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, you'll speak the Word of God with boldness, as we'll see right here. And you'll begin to speak the Word of God to those who need to hear the truth of God. They perceived that God was in the place. They perceived the presence of God. Number two, not only did they perceive the presence of God, but they received the power of God. Now, how did that happen? They prayed. Won't you look at this prayer with me? See if you prayed anything like this. What would it be like if Fellowship Baptist Church, I mean full of good people, saved people. Now, I'm not naive. I understand there may be somebody that's here this morning that's even a part of this church that's not saved. I don't know your heart, and I'm not your judge. But I'm here to tell you, you can be a part of this church, in every community. But if you're not a part of God's church, you're not going to heaven. So I pray to God that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. That's my prayer for you now, if you're here and you're not saved. Now, these people began to pray. There's two main things that they ask in their prayer that ought to challenge your heart. It challenged mine. The first thing they said is they said, God, we want you to know, we know who's still on the throne. Amen. We know who's still on the throne. It's not about the White House. Amen. It's not about the White House. It's not about the poor house. It's not even about your house. It's not even about my house. It's about God's church house. We know who's on the throne. His name is Jesus. And he said this in verse number 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God. You say, well, that should go without saying. Well, it should, but in many instances, it doesn't. What are they saying? God, we want you to know, we realize you're in control. You're sovereign. You're in control of everything. Do you believe that, brethren? Do you really believe God is in control? Listen to me now. We live in a very volatile and hostile world. And yet I stand before you to tell you on the authority of God's word, God's in control. He is sovereign. The Bible says in verse number 24, it says that they lifted a voice and they said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and the sea. You're the God of creation. Amen. You've created it all. And now we're coming to you, Lord. We got this little problem. We don't have a problem in verse number 24 with the heaven. We don't have a problem with the earth or the sea, but all that are in them is. We got a little problem with some of them. Amen. Right? That's what they're saying. We got a little problem with some things that are within your creation, and we're bringing it to you. We believe you're sovereign. We believe you're in control. In so much, we believe that you're so much in control, in verse number 25, that by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. You sent your son, God. You're in control. You sent your son. They killed him. They said, we don't want your son. We don't want your mercy. We don't want your truth. They killed him. But notice what these people said. They understood something. I pray that you understand it this morning. They did it because God ordained it. Amen. See, God was in control of that. God was in control of that. It says here in verse number 26, and of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You see that? God, they did it only because you allowed them to. Only because you allowed them to. You're in control. And you brought forth a greater purpose. See, sometimes we don't understand, why are we going through this? Why is this happening? God sent his son. These people that were here in this day, they didn't understand. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. Amen. Then all of a sudden they took him and they arrested him and they beat him and they hung him on a cross and he died. And they said, hey, what happened to that? What happened? But now they're on the backside of it and they can see clear. And they said, oh, okay. God was in control of that. God had a greater purpose in mind, and God may have a greater purpose in mind for that trial you're going through. Well, if God had a greater purpose in mind for the death of Christ, how much more would he have a greater purpose in mind now that you're one of his children, that you're going through a difficult time, and he's allowing that? Why? Because he wants to turn your trial into a triumph. You see, God wants to turn your trial into a triumph. Do you understand God's in control? See, when we pray, you want to get answers to your prayer. You want to get God involved. You want to get God on the scene. When you go to him and pray, don't forget to tell him, God, I know who's in control now. Amen. I know you know my heart, Lord, but I just want to say it. You're in control. You've created everything, and you're in control of everything. What a great spirit of humility as this church prayed. It got some answers, brethren. So, we've seen, first of all, the presence of God was perceived. God shook the place. The power of God was received. I mean, when they got through praying, they went back to the darkest day in human history. And they said, God brought light out of that dark day. What was that? They killed Jesus. There's been no darker day than when they killed Jesus. But God knows how to bring darkness out of light. God knows how to bring order out of chaos. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, God can do that in your life too. If God can bring light out of the darkest day, God can bring light out of your dark day. He can. So they prayed. And when they got through praying, the power of God fell. And they realized some things. They realized the purpose of God. Now I want you to watch this, and this is where we'll close today. The Bible says, in verse number 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants, and stop right there with me. They've been threatening them. They've been telling them, stop. And the church began to pray. I mean, the whole church began to pray. And they said, God, we want you to get involved. We want you to do something about this. We've got a little problem with some of your creation here. They've opposed us. They've come against us. We're doing what you called us to do, Lord, and they're trying to stop it. God, would you take care of that? Would you take care of those that are threatening us? So what? So we could do what we want to do? So we can experience a certain phenomena, a certain feeling in our own lives and heart? No, that's not what happened. Notice why they wanted God to get involved. The power of God, don't forget it now, for the purpose of God. Verse number 29. Would you grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word? Now that's the heartbeat of God. Delight in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is it to you that people hear the message of the gospel? It might be why many, many prayers are going unanswered. Because our heart is not in tune with God's heart. And we're praying frivolous, selfish prayers. I said we now. I'm not indicting anyone. But as a church, if we would come together and say, God, I got some family members, some friends, some co-workers. There's some people that I know that don't know you. And they're saying down at the workplace, I can't talk about you, Lord. They're saying in the school now, right here in America, that I can't bring your word, Lord. They're saying that you're offensive, God. That the name of Jesus offends them. That the Bible and God is offensive. God, would you get involved and help us out? Would you? What would happen if the church came together? Why don't we do it and pray and watch God shake this place? You say, oh, preacher, I don't want to see no place shaken. Some of you need to be shaken. You know how far you need to be shaken? Right down into your heart. Right down into your heart. So that the sin in your life could be shaken. The carelessness, the indifference, the apathy could be shaken. So that you could see where you really stand before a holy God. This thing's real now. Don't you think for a moment that this is not real. It's real. It's very real. And one day, as I have told many, this life as we know it is going to come to a close. And if it does, and when it does, only going to be two ways to look back on it. I'm glad I did, or I wished I would have. Don't wait too late. They prayed. God shook. God filled. And then God granted. They said, Lord, we want to speak your word with boldness. Let's see if God answered their prayer. God, would you get involved about this opposition? And would you allow us to speak your word with boldness? Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled, not half of them, not most of them, all of them, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, God answers prayer. When we will line our heart up with the heart of God, when we will get involved in the things that God is involved and get concerned with the things that God's concerned with as a church, God will move. I'm glad that God moves at Fellowship Baptist Church, aren't you? I'm glad that people get saved here. You say, I know a buddy, I'd like to see him get saved. Bring him to church. Get him under the Word. Now, you don't have to be in church to be saved. You can get saved at your home. That's where I got saved. How many of you got saved at home? Raise your hand. Look around you. So don't you think, well, the preacher says you got to go to church to get saved. Well, there's several in this building that is living proof that you don't have to be in church to get saved. Now, how many of you got saved in church? Raise your hand. Okay, a few more got saved in church. Amen. It shows you can get saved in church if you belong to the right church. Amen. Where the Word of God's preached. Where the Word of God's preached. Now, I want you to pray with me, church. Let's pray together. If you're visiting with us, would you join us? Let's pray that God would shake this place. That God would shake this county. You say, preacher, it can't happen. Well, it already has happened. So there's no way we can say it can't happen. It already has. Amen. We're not asking God to do something he hasn't done. We're just saying, God, do it again. God, do it again. Shake us up, Lord. Shake this place. Shake us. And then fill us. And then send us. Why? Look at the latter part of verse 31. That we might speak the word of God with boldness. That's what the church needs, boldness. Now, Let's finish out 32 and 33. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Well, I tell you, that purpose of getting filled with the Spirit is good for us. It's needful. One heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They were looking out after one another. And I believe that's the way, when a Spirit-filled group of people comes together, I believe that's the way it ought to be. It ought not be the same people all the time. Everybody ought to be willing to give something to help the cause of Christ and the advancement of the kingdom of God. And verse number 33, as we close, says this, and with great power, don't you think the power didn't fall now? With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great power. What did they do? Witness. What? The resurrection, look at it, of the Lord Jesus. What's that saying? They went around in such a way that the way they lived spoke volumes that Jesus was alive. And I began to think about that this week. It didn't say that they preached the resurrection. It said they gave witness. Their lives gave witness that Jesus is alive. I want my life to give that witness. That Jesus is not some dead prophet. That Jesus is not just some dead teacher that lived some 2,000 years ago. I want people to know by the witness that exudes from my soul that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is Lord. Don't you? But we're going to have to pray. Would you pray with me? Brethren, it'd be a wonderful thing to see revival break out in Madison County, Greene County, Culpeper, Orange, Albemarle, Fauquier, and just begin to spread. You say, well, preacher, it can happen. Not with that attitude. You're right. It's going to take some people believing that what God has done, He can do again. And it's going to take a church that knows how to pray. I'm talking about seeing things that cannot be explained by the natural mind, the supernatural. Things that happen in the supernatural realm where God shakes a people and God fills a people and God sends a people and then God brings in a people. And God does a work in our broken homes. God mends broken hearts. God begins to put lives back together. We were talking this past week as you stand to your feet. How sad it is that our country is encountering things that we're encountering today. But I want to stand before you as a mouthpiece of God to let you know God hasn't forgotten us and God's not through and God has something He wants to do in your life, my life, through this ministry. Will you be a part of it? Will you pray? Will you pray and say, God, shake this place. God, do something. Make it real. God, make our lives witnesses that Jesus is alive and that He has all power in heaven and earth. It has been given unto Him by God the Father. And that as He works through His servants, His word will go forth. God grant it to be so. Young men, God bless you. Young ladies, listen to me. God wants to do it in your lives. That's where it's at. God wants to do it in your lives. He wants to change the course of your life forever. I wish that some of our young people would read the history of David Brainerd, Hudson Taylor, some of these people that said, I want my life to count for Christ. Charles Wesley, he said, let God set you on fire and you burn with a passion and you watch people flock to your place to see your passion burn. We're lacking it, but it's available to us. What happens when the church prays? The presence of God is perceived. Surely the Lord is in this place. The power of God is received. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. We'll ask.